Check.
Come on up, y'all. Come on up.
Don't be afraid. Be very afraid.
So, some of you guys might be wondering, what goes on in youth? Some of you might be too scared to show up. I understand. Trust me. I'm scared to show up sometimes too myself. But what we wanted to do really quickly was give you just a quick snapshot of when your students come to youth, how they're loved and cared for and given God's word and everything just laid out right in front of them. And so we just wanted to show you a quick video. It's only 30 seconds, just about what happens on a typical night at youth. So check this out really quickly.
Evening plan for you guys. You guys are going to love it. I'm so excited about what we got going on. We're going to do capture the flag, and we're going to eat, and we're going to do some great stuff.
Con los terroristas.
And do the Harlem shake.
I literally laughed for like 5 minutes with Anthony with that big white thing. What is that thing? I don't even know. It's like a pillow. And he's just like... Yeah, and then my back hurt for like 3 days after using it. I'm like, oh, ah, no. Yeah. That's kind of what we do. But so what I've done is I've asked these students to come up here just to talk to you guys, and I have questions here for them, but just to talk to you guys about what youth means to them. So I'm gonna grab two microphones. I know I missed one. Here we go. I'm gonna give you guys this one, and then ask you some questions. And so hold the mic up towards your mouth. You know how to do that. So this is Riley. He's in junior high. This is Noelle. She's in junior high. This is Hashi. His actual name is Joshua, but we call him Hashi. And then this is Onyx, and they're both in high school. And we call him O. I call him O. So really quickly, Riley, I want to know, how did you get involved with the youth group? So tell me, and put it like this. There you go.
Because my sister went to the youth group, and every time I went to church, Ryan would talk to me about going.
Talk to you or taunt you about going?
Both.
Both? That's good. Yeah, we definitely have our eyes open. Noelle.
I remember we were looking for a new church, and we found this one in Silvertown, and my dad was like pushing me to keep going to youth group and keep pushing me, and I finally went, and I really liked it.
Sir, if you're out in the crowd, we salute you, sir. Ryan and I salute you. We loved hearing that.
Well, my family, we went to Calvary, and then one day, Mike Gaines, he came up to us, and he asked us if we'd like to come to Blossom Valley, and we decided to try it out, and we loved it. So then my brother, he went to youth group, and I was too young, and I always looked forward to it, and I always wanted to go. And then finally, when I was old enough, I went. I've never stopped going since.
Nice.
For me, it started at summer camp. I was kind of pushed to go to summer camp because I had boring summer so much. It's like, oh, go, get your mind off, you know, your boring summer and go to camp. At camp, I accepted Christ, and then she kind of helped push me to youth group, which I came, and just kind of stuck with me.
Shameless plug for summer camps right there. Booyah! Yeah, that's why summer camps are so important. It's where they can get away from everything and concentrate on God, and we see amazing life change happen at summer camp. So wonderful, wonderful. So, what is your favorite part about youth?
My favorite part about youth would be the camaraderie and the like, kind of like the brotherhood and just like the fellowship we have at our youth group. It's a wonderful atmosphere and environment that we have and that we share. It's just a good place to just come be yourself.
Nice.
I also love the fellowship. I also love worship too. That's one of my favorites. And I'd say a top favorite is our discipleships we do.
Nice.
My favorite thing about youth is being able to be a part of something and hanging out with my friends.
I love it.
I like everything about youth, but my favorite is worship and getting to sing Praise the Lord.
I love that. So the cool part is that Bill always talks about replication. So that's what we try to do. We try to replicate. If we see somebody that plays an instrument, we try to get them up there, which is kind of where Brandon came from. And they're junior high worship leader there is Anthony, who came up through. He's right back there. So everyone say hello to Anthony. He's recording this, apparently. But he came up through the ranks and then now is leading them in worship. So that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So I'm going to ask you, how has being in youth every week and being committed to being there changed you, Riley? How has that worked out for you?
Being there has changed me a lot, but one of the biggest is learning more about Christ.
Love it.
It's changed my day-to-day life by when I'm at school and I'm at home, I catch myself talking about it a lot, and it's just nice to go every week.
I love it.
I'd say that it's just challenged me and challenged me to step out of my comfort zone just all, with all the staff and stuff, and yeah.
It's challenged my level of commitment and my kind of perseverance with and towards God, allowing me to give him praise in all my situations, whether it's sports or just school.
Gotcha. So, last question. This is the most important one. Not really, but what would you say to a student out there who is sitting here at school anywhere, but they're not going to either this youth group or a youth group? What would you tell them?
I tell them that you should come. It's a lot of fun, and you can get closer to Jesus and just have fun, make new friends.
I like that.
I would just ask them until they went.
I tell them that they're really missing out on something special, getting invested in by the staff there and just growing in the Word and in the Lord.
Yeah. I tell them come because it's not really what they think. It's actually better. It's, I was going to say, shoot. Well, okay, that's good. I forgot what I was going to say.
No?
Yeah, I forgot.
Okay, that's all right. It happens to me all the time, dude. It happens to me all the time. Okay, well, give them a round of applause, please. Thanks, guys.
I really...
Very good, very good. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Oh, no. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, you got to excuse me. I work junior high students, so I'm used to loud, so I need loud. Not all the time, but I need you to respond. So throughout, while I'm talking, if I ask you a question or ask you to raise your hand, I need your involvement to help this go flow right, okay? Fair enough. Okay, perfect. Well, first, I wanted to share with you guys Paul and I's hearts. Share with you guys. You guys get a chance to see us and get a chance to talk to us. But I don't know if you actually get a chance to really hear our heart, what's inside, what makes us tick and makes us do what we do. First and foremost, we just feel so blessed to do what it is we do. So blessed to be able to get to go on a Tuesday night and get to go on a Sunday night. I think I'm more excited than probably the students are to be there and get to see the kids. And they uplift me. For both Paul and I, it's the same thing. We're super blessed. And we want to just tell you guys, thank you. Really, truly thank you for allowing us to do what we do and for sending your students. Just allowing this... allowing us to have the students and be able to just spend time with them and let them bless our lives. We just thank you so much for that. And we want you to know that truly these youth groups are 120%, if that's even possible, 120% God's youth groups. They're led by God. That is totally our heart for that to happen. I just, you know, as I sit back over the worship and just listening, it almost brought me to tears just seeing the students and seeing Natalie up there singing and just seeing that. It's just totally God. It's just amazing to see that. And so we want you to know that first and foremost, that it is 100%, 120% God's youth group, and it's Him who's leading it. It's a super blessing. And so with that said, it's our desire, for Paul and I's desire, to have every student who walks through the door, not let anybody who comes on a Tuesday night or comes on a Sunday night, to not know that they are valued and that they are loved by God. We get a lot of kids come through who, their parents aren't here on Sunday mornings. Their parents, you know, it's a good thing for them. Well, you know, and they come through, they have baggage, they're broken, and they have just so much stuff going on in their life, and all they need is just someone to show them that they're valued. And it's such a super important part, and all of our staff are just amazing at that. God has truly blessed Paul and I with our staff of putting every single person there. You know, I love it when you get a new staff person going, I don't know what to do. I don't just care about a kid and just love on them. And that's what we do. And that's just so important to see these kids understand, some of them for the very first time in their life, to understand truly that they are valued and that they're loved by God, and that an adult is going to give their time and to really show them that, hey, you're important. It's a super awesome thing to be a part of, and to see these kids when they first get that for the first time, they're like, they just can't get enough of being poured into. They love it. So going on from there, we just wanted to share with you a little bit about how Paul and I have been invested. I said in first service, and I'll say it again, definitely Paul and I's stories would be considered a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll, because I would definitely be on the country side and Paul would be on the rock and roll side of how, for me, I was raised in the church my whole life. How, and again, where the analogy with the country is you see a lot of them country stars who they always want to thank God and they want to, you know, sing about Jesus songs and then act completely differently when they're not at church. And that's how I was raised in the church. I was raised around that my whole life, and I had so many people who were investing in my life, and at the time I really didn't want that investment. I didn't really care for that. It wasn't something that I was, there was times, but that didn't really want to hear about that, and it was just kind of, yeah, all right. But what it did was, is it made me who the person I am today, and it's shaped me. And for Paul, he had the rock star lifestyle. I mean, the long hair, which I still vote on bringing that back. But come on, Jen, I think it'll be the long hair, the rocker. He was all about the music, and that was what he was about. But he had people in his life who were investing in him. I mean, again, I never get tired of saying this, but it's talking about his mom. I wish she's definitely going to be one of the people who, when I get to heaven, I get a chance to go up and shake her hand and to give her a hug and tell her thank you, because of what she did to invest in his life. Because what she did was she invested in his life to give me one of my best friends investing in his life. And he didn't even know it at the time. He probably didn't even want to know it at the time. But he and then other people and his in-laws who were praying for him and everything. And now both of us now are being invested in now by so many of you guys. So many of you guys is your friendships. I love Sunday morning and the welcome. And I really mean that whenever I get to do it, the welcome of shake hands but give each other a hug. There's some of you guys that just love my hugs from everybody. If you guys, you know who you are, you're smiling because I just, has to give me a hug because it just makes my day. And that, even though it's, you may think, okay, it's just a hug, it's investment. And that's what has been investing in us. So that's why Paul and I, with all that said, that's why Paul and I do what we do with the students. Because we understand, again, like we had said before, that they're valued. We understand that these kids need to see God's love, and that we want to invest in them. And that's why the staff are all amazing at what they do, is regardless of where we're all coming from and where all the students are coming from, we're here to, that's why we do what we do. We invest in the students, love on them, go see them when they do sporting events and go be a part of different things. I love it when I get to go see a kid at their baseball game or at, you know, whatever I can get to. I'm staying with Paul, track meets and everything, is get to see that and get to see the look on the kid's face, look on their face of, wow, Paul came, Orion came. That's why we do what we do, is because of, we understand the importance of investing. So for you parents out there who have students who are in STARS, who have students who are in high school and junior high, or even in college age, this is to you. You guys have a huge responsibility, in investing in your youth and investing in your kids. You know, I've said this before a lot to different people, but it's too true, is when you're with, and this is what I talk to the staff about, when you're with a student, have intent. You know, if you're a grandmother or a grandfather, have intent when you're with that student. when you're with them, have intent. Don't just come home from work and be exhausted and, oh, hey, okay, just, you know, when they're excited about telling you about their day, or you just sweep them under the rug. We get that so often. We see so many kids who, again, with the part about being valued and loved, is so many kids show up on Tuesdays and Sunday nights and they don't get that at home. And I tell you what, those parents are missing it. They're missing the buck. They're not getting it. For those of you guys who know me really well, this is where the hand raising is going to be. My favorite show in the whole world is Duck Dynasty. Who in here likes Duck Dynasty? Okay, more hands than the first. Yes, I like the second service for a reason. I love how they did an interview of Jace, one of the brothers. The guy's, you know, big old, looks like just a goofball, you know, country boy, hillbilly. But I love what he says. They were asking him, he was doing an interview with Oklahoma Christian University. They were asking him, you know, talking about his life, and he says, you know, the one thing that I make a point to do every single day, regardless of if he's hunting, regardless if he's working, whatever he's doing, how tired he is, he comes inside and spends time with his kids. He comes inside and shows intent. And you know what? Those kids know that. Those kids may not see it right now, and they may go, okay, it's just dad. And for you guys, it just may be dad, maybe mom, maybe grandma, maybe grandpa. But they're going to realize it. I'm living and breathing telling you that they're going to realize it. They're going to see it eventually. It's such an important thing. And then with that, too, is another way for you guys to invest in your students is, here's, you've got to bear with me if I step on your toes. This is mine and Paul's soapbox here we could dance on forever, is sports. Sports. We, as parents, you need to show your students, as grandparents, you need to show your students that sports are not more important than God. Thank you. Not more important than church. Not more important than coming to youth group. Oh, well, you know, I had a game last night. I was real tired, so I can't come to church on Sunday morning. No. Nuh-uh. That's not where it's at. You're showing them simple things as that. You're showing them that, hey, let's go. Even if it's things as, you know, you went out, you guys went to a concert the night before, or you went to a good family outing, you're super exhausted. Oh, I don't want to get up and go to church in the morning. Well, you know what? What kind of example? What are you investing in your students' lives? You need to get up and say, no, we're going to be there. We're always going to be there. I was blessed with having a father who always showed us that, you know what, come rain or shine, we're going to be there because we needed to be there. And that was investing in my life. And I can't tell you much, parents, how important that is for you guys. So now, for those of you guys who don't have kids in our youth group or don't have that, here's your turn to listen. You guys get to hear that it's your responsibility also, as well, is not just worrying about coming to church and worrying, you know, sitting down and finding that good seat and, you know, getting ready to go. You need to not just think, oh man, that junior high student is crazy and loud and he's running through the church. Oh my goodness. Yeah, he's crazy and loud and he's running through the church. Junior high. High school students are talking about, you know, crazy stuff or whatever. You need to show them that the love of God. You need to show them that they're important. You have a great responsibility as well to go up to them and talk to them, go up to and say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Make a point to have intent with them as well. I had that so much in my life, so many different guys. I had a guy when I was growing up, who in here is big on baseball cards, or was any of the older guys? No one collected baseball cards ever? Okay. Yes. Bringing back the old school. I had a guy who, what he did is, and I didn't even realize at the time, I just thought I was getting baseball cards. It was awesome. What he would do is each week, he'd say, okay, give me a verse to go home and memorize. Just a friend of my dad's, give me a verse to go home and memorize. And if I came back the next week and it was memorized, he gave me a new ball card. I got some awesome old ball cards, but because I didn't even realize at the time what he was doing, but he was investing in me. You know, guys, you guys have for the congregation, we have a responsibility. And there's tons of different ways. You know, some of you guys say, okay, I don't have a student in youth group. I don't have that. But what I can do is, you know, I know summer camp's coming up, and our winter camp's coming up, or different events coming up. And, you know, I have a couple extra bucks here that I could be able to help and send a kid who wants to go but can't afford to go. You know, I'm not asking you even to give it to them. You can have them come over and wash your car, or wash, mow your lawn, do your dishes for all that, for that matter. But you can be able to invest in those kids' lives because they can. I've seen it before, and you guys as a congregation are amazing of doing that already. I've seen so many of you guys do that, and kids would never have been able to go to camp if it wasn't for you doing that, for you giving something to them and influencing them in that way and investing in their life. And they may not even see it now, but they had the opportunity, and they're going to look back 10, 20 years later and say, man, you know, so-and-so, they really, that meant a lot to me that I got to get, I would never have got to go to camp, and I never would have, you know, that was when I gave my life to the Lord at that camp. So that's the way, as a congregation, you guys can be investing in students. Now, not just investing in students, and not just saying, okay, I need to invest in that person. Here's our plug, Doug, you're in the service, right? Okay. Here's our plug for life groups. Life groups, I cannot tell you how important they are, because it's an amazing opportunity for you guys, for all of us to be investing in each other and being invested in. And, you know, we're in, Amber and I are in the best small group in the whole world, which is the Miniachi small group, right? Yeah. So for whoever's not in that small group, I'm sorry, you're not the best. But I love it because it's a great, Paul and Terry are awesome leaders. It's great, and I love hearing from their hearts, but my favorite stuff is to hear from the other people and hear their heart, hear their interpretation on the lesson that we're going over, because what it does is it invests in my life and challenges me to think differently, than I would have, and think, okay, my answers, wait a minute, my answers may not be right. And what it does is it helps me be able to grow, and they're investing in my life. Marva, do we have Hebrews 10? Okay. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I can't tell you how important it is. On a Sunday morning, again, not just come in and sit in your seat, sit down, okay, I got to be right here, first thing I do. No, go out and see somebody. Go out and, you know, and you don't know. I tell you, you do not have a clue what a good hug, a good handshake, a smile can do for somebody. The power of what it can do to just investing in someone's life. Of they can remember back, wait a minute, you know, that so-and-so, they took the time, they spurred me on, they loved me, and they showed me love on Sunday mornings or on small group. That's why you can't miss it out. That's why it's so important with the whole body to work. All the parts have to be here and working as one fine unit. You know, one thing I to touch back on something I had said before about with the younger people, the students and everything and everybody, you don't understand, too, for the investment of how you can change your family. I look out here and I see different people who I've had the opportunity to get to know, some I haven't, but it's amazing how with them influencing and investing in their family. And some of you are here because a younger person, your son, your daughter, brought you here. So in closing, can you put up Hebrews 11? In closing, I love Hebrews 11 because it's a chapter. Does anybody else, weird like me, remember Hebrews 11 by the by faith chapter? Does anybody else do that? No? No one? Okay, well, maybe that's just me. But I love it because it says by faith. And if you go through, we couldn't put it all up on the screen, but you go through and you look at all the by faith, Abraham by faith, Abel by faith, all those different people, what they were doing there was I don't even know if they realized it, they were investing in the future. They were investing in our future. They were investing in the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, guys. That when we look back 20 years from now, If I were to rewrite Hebrews 11, is it going to say by faith Gustavo, by faith Brian? Is it going to say that? Is it going to say that about us? Because that you were working every day to invest in the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ and furthering in our kids' future and furthering in their kids' future further and further and further on. That's what I wanted to say about me. You know, I'm not a fan of necessarily the idea of dying quite yet. Got a little bit left to live, I guess. But I love the idea of the tombstone, of what is it going to say about your life? What is it going to say? What's legacy going to say about you when you pass away? Is it going to say that he invested or she invested in the future? Did she invested or he invested in the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ? So here's the question I have for you guys leaving. And don't just leave and walk out and go, okay, that was great. Yay, Ryan was up there. We got to listen to that big guy talk. Okay. Here's the question I want you to really take to heart and think about. What or who are you investing in and being invested by? One more time. What or who are you being invested by or investing in? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you so much for bringing us here. We thank you for just the church, and just thank you for everyone showing up and just our leadership. As Pastor Bill, as he comes and invests in our lives every single week, God. We love you, and we just thank you for everything. In precious son's name, God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ryan. We appreciate so much, not just Ryan and Paul, but all of our staff as well that help them and work with them. It is exciting to see our young people. It's exciting to see them worship. I know that as we in our church, we have those who are of the seniors' age, of which I now qualify, I guess. And I know at times that there might be a desire for more hymns and different things. But I'll tell you what I love about our seniors. Our seniors, they look to our youth. Do you guys know that? Our seniors look to our young people, and our seniors get excited about watching them worship. And they get excited about seeing them worship. And that is cool. That's very cool. But we're excited about our staff as well and the way they impact so many lives, and they give and they sacrifice. So we appreciate that. And you who are parents and those who support our youth ministry at camp time and with needs that we have to have filled, and it's just amazing how it takes place. Let me just turn the corner here for a minute. Galatians tells us that we're to bear one another's burdens. And sometimes those burdens are very, very easy, and sometimes those burdens are very, very heavy. I want to introduce you to a family. It's the Grillo family. You may not know this family. There's the family picture. That's John and Sandy, and then Blake, Annie, and Jacob. The next picture is the kids being crazy. There they are. That's Blake and Annie, and then Jacob with his fingers in his mouth. And the last one is the picture of Jacob himself. Jacob is a six-year-old boy. He's in our church. They're not in this service. I asked him actually not to be in this service. It's hard enough as it is. And but Jacob, at 13 months old, was diagnosed with having a brain tumor. And in this period of time, he's had three brain surgeries. He's had weeks and weeks of radiation. He's had at least four different types of chemotherapy. He's had two CyberKnife surgeries. And yet the tumor has not responded in any positive way to any of those medications or desired treatments. So at this point, the family has stopped treatment. And the goal and the focus now is on keeping Jacob happy, on keeping him comfortable and pain-free. His time with us is short, but we still do believe in miracles. And God can heal him if he so desires. And yet all of it's to be done to the glory of God. Medically, that healing may not take place, that miracle may not take place medically, which would be a miracle as well. But we will pray for Jacob. Sandy has asked that we pray for Jacob, obviously, that he would continue as long as possible to be happy, not be scared, and not feel fear. We need to pray for Blake and Annie, as they are going to lose part of their family, and as well as their own age to deal with those situations. We need to pray for John and Sandy, that it would be easy to have a wedge driven between them in the issue of a child. And so we need to pray for the family. I know some of you do not know them. It does not matter. They are part of our church family, and I'm asking you to lift up Jacob, and to lift up the kids, and to remain as well. For that, we would pray for John and Sandy that they would remain strong together. Humanly, we could never bear this. Would not be peaceable, not possible. I am thankful for Brian and Nikki Thomas, who have been a chief liaison as well as just such a great support to the Grillo family. And we are making roles and making plans along the way to help them. Jacob has a birthday in November, and he would love to be at that birthday party, but it doesn't look like that will be feasible, so we will be having his birthday in April. And some of you by Facebook and other things have already seen that. It will be out at Del Oso. Brian, would you and Nikki, Brian, would you stand up, and Nikki, would you stand on a chair? Get up there on the chair. Carmel, you're still not going to be as tall as Brian, but just keep going. And at this point in time, and then our own Terry as well, Miniachi back there. Man, if you have a desire to help or see Terry or Thomas's as well. But it's just a situation where we need to help bear their burdens. And it's a good perspective as to how petty some of our things are. Sometimes we need to let things go and understand what's important. Would you stand with me, please? God, you are a good God. Sometimes in our finiteness, we can't often see that. But we know that your word tells us that you are faithful. So God, this morning, we want you to be glorified. If the glorification is greater through healing Jacob, I pray that that would be done. If little Jacob goes to be in your care and with you, may you be glorified all the more. I pray for the family. I pray that you would just surround them and envelop them with such grace and peace and strength. I pray that we as a family, that we who are involved with them as well, would be the visible representation of you to them. And that God, you love us and you care for us. I pray you would meet their needs in the days to come, that they would trust in you. Father, we only have two options: to respond in fear or to respond in faith. So we trust you today. Be with the family. They have needs. I pray you will meet them in miraculous ways. I pray for Blake and Annie that you would as well just guard their heart, surround them. I pray for John and Sandy that as a husband and wife, they will be drawn together and not driven apart. I pray that we as a church family will be able to respond as a family is to respond. I am thankful for the assurance and the hope that you give us. And God, I'm thankful that I don't have to see the big picture. You do. I am thankful that it's not about me. It's all about you. And that you will care for them and that you will love them. And that will, once again, you will prove yourself faithful. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this body. We have a great family. May we bind together. May we pray together. May we surround them and be the support that they need. Thank you that you love us so much. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.